Could Major League Baseball be facing a gambling scandal that shakes the integrity of the game to its core? We'll talk about some recent news involving players and umpires getting disciplined by MLB for gambling, including one Diamondbacks pitcher, and discuss an article that Bob Nightingale wrote for USA Today about players fearing for their safety in the increased access of gambling on today's episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. And hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. I am the Snakes on the Diamond podcast host, Mike McDermott, the Diamondbacks reporter for Burn City Sports. You can check us out at burncitysports.com. If you are listening in on the show, make sure to give us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you're watching the show here on YouTube, make sure to leave a like, comment, and subscribe what you think of Major League Baseball and the gambling bubble that's going on and the fallout that's coming through that. So joining me to discuss the gambling situation with Major League Baseball is our co-host Wes Beyer. So how are you doing today, Wes?
I am wonderful and overheated on kind of like this gambling scandal. It's would you say it's a surprise before we even get, like, I mean, is this something that you think has really shocked anyone?
I would say that is not the case. I guess we could say it's only not a question of if, but when this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Would you agree on that one?
Well, I think it was an inevitable, honestly. I mean, it's to Major League, like, before we get into any of this, like, throughout Major League clubhouses, like, it's posted everywhere, like, don't gamble on baseball. It's a very, very well-known policy. It's in the rule book. They go over it like spring training. All the players are well aware of it. I think it's just it's one of those things. Like, these are young guys that are impulsive. They're not always paid the best. They certainly have an incentive to, you know, put themselves out there like that. But I mean, you're risking a lifetime ban or a 1-year suspension, depending on, you know, how you gamble and like who you gamble on.
So looking at the recent news, we've had 5 players disciplined for ties to gambling, including the Diamondbacks left-hander Andrew Salfrank, who got a 1-year suspension. 3 other players got suspended for betting on games while minor leaguers. Tucapita Marcano got a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball for betting on games from the Pirates while he was on the injured list. And it's kind of disappointing. You see these guys bet money. It's like betting money on baseball, small amounts, and you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. Like, that's really, like, that's why I mentioned, like, it's, you know, young, impulsive guys that don't necessarily have, you know, the most common sense. But, like, you're risking, I mean, in Marcano's case, I don't think that he even, like, broke even on his bets. Like, he's losing a lifetime of money in his, like, career. Like, his career's over. Unless he, you know, I don't know what the policy is for, you know, the Japanese professional baseball or, you know, Korean professional, you know, any of the Asian leagues. I'm pretty sure that you get banned from them too, if I remember correctly. I know the Mexican league doesn't care, but most of the other major quote unquote leagues, they do care. So, like, you're, you know, a simple dumb decision of betting on your own team. That's what he did. That's, you know, that's a permanent decision. Like, you can't undo that. So, I mean, of course, I mean, he can appeal this eventually. And I don't foresee a situation where MLB reverses that decision. And in Andrew Salfrank's case, you'd think they would know better. Like I said, like, it's a very simple rule. Just don't bet in baseball. You can bet on other things. You just cannot bet on Major League Baseball.
And we'll pull up the rule here. Rule 20. So rule 21, section D, in Major League Baseball rule book that goes over gambling. So part 1, any player, umpire, or club or league official or employee shall bet any sum whatsoever upon any baseball game in connection which the bettor has no duty to perform shall be declared ineligible for a year. And this is the principle that applies to Andrew Self, Frank, because he put four bets on the Diamondbacks. And we'll talk about that further down the podcast. Four bets while he was with the Diamondbacks high A affiliate in Hillsboro in the 2021-2022 season while he was on the IL. However, like I said, what would you need to do to get a lifetime ban? Is any club, league official, well, same, anyone with connection to the game bets on a game that they do have a duty to perform shall be declared permanently ineligible. And that's the case with Pete Rose when he was the player manager for the Reds.
Yeah, I mean that's the real precedence for this case is you know, you look at Pete Rose, he bet on games that he managed, he bet on games that he played in. He bet on, you know, he says that he bet, you know, never bet against his own team, but he did both, you know, it doesn't really matter at that point. You're still betting on your team. It's affecting the outcome. And like, you know, it's the integrity of the game's on the line. That's why we have an MLB commissioner after the, you know, the Black Sox scandal is there was already issues with gambling prior to that. That was a real issue at the turn of, you know, the 20th century that, you know, it's like, there were questions about the integrity of the sport. I think a lot of those, like the motivations for those players is not the same. Like, you know, now we have minor leaguers getting paid minimum wage. Generally MLB players are pretty well compensated, you know, regardless of role. You don't have guys haggling, like, you know, like the A's might make their players pay for their own laundry, which is one of the reasons the White Sox and the Black Sox scandal had bet on, you know, to make some extra money is like literally the owner was charging them to do laundry, but they had to pay to wash their own uniform. So it's kind of one of those things where it's, you know, a little different from here, where it's very clear if you're involved in the game in an official capacity at all, you cannot gamble on it.
Yeah, and the situation you point out with the 1919 Chicago White Sox, that's why you have a players' union.
Yeah.
So stuff that's, like that, yeah, that's happens.
It's really like that's largely been, I would say, but those issues that led to that scandal have largely been resolved. But you know, with legalized sports betting, they've opened a whole can of worms. Like we already saw this earlier in the year with Ipe Mizuhara, you know, embezzling money and gambling on the sport. You know what he did would have. I think it was just he bet on an illegal sports book was the issue, and he did bet on none. He did not bet on baseball though.
Speaking of Ipe, this is actually a good segue into part three of Rule 21, Section D on gambling. Any player, umpire, club, league official who places bets with illegal bookmakers shall be subject to such penalty as the commissioner deems appropriate in the light of the facts and circumstances of the conduct. Well, now, of course, what happened is Ipe got fired by the Dodgers, although Rob Manfred is also within his right to suspend him. Although this might not necessarily be, I'm not sure. If it's baseball, he would be a lifetime ban.
From what I understand, he bet on soccer and college sports. I do not think that he actually bet on Major League Baseball. I'm pretty sure that was confirmed that he hadn't. But I mean, he's going to be in a federal prison. So it's not like Major League Baseball really has to worry about that until he's out of prison. I would assume that he's going to get a ban from baseball too. And then we have other players that were connected to that, like David Fletcher.
Fletcher hasn't been disciplined yet.
He's being investigated though, because I know there is a link because he's the one who introduced Ipe Mizuhara to that sports bookmaker. So I mean, this is just the season of gambling scandals so far. So we have a translator, we have five players, and then you know there's an umpire, which is like this is a whole separate thing to talk about because it's very different when you have an officiant possibly affecting the outcome of game versus players. They have less control, especially like in a sport like baseball.
Like if you for example in Ipe's case. You have 38 states that have legalized pro gambling. I believe Arizona is one of them because they have a sports book literally right next to Chase Field.
Yeah.
But it is illegal in California, so that's kind of where David Fletcher and Ipe Mizuhara fall under the scope of things.
I would not be surprised if Fletcher ends up with a suspension or a ban, just based on the knowledge that we have publicly available.
Yeah, I feel like it's not going to be a permanent ban if there's no bets on baseball.
Yeah, I mean, was it say specifically with an illegal sports book? Is it like a suspension?
It's kind of vague. It doesn't name baseball, but technically, we could take this entire rule to the letter of law, and again, it is up to whatever Rob Manfred feels like is the appropriate punishment is ultimately what it means.
At the very least, I would bet on him getting a 1-year suspension just from the connection with an illegal sports book. Unless he baffingly never made any bets with this guy. I know for a fact that he played poker with him, so a little different. But if he was betting on sports with this illegal sports book, then he definitely is going to be facing a suspension, and that's not a good look for Major League Baseball. If there's another game, like another fall, you know, another set of players getting suspended or banned in the same season.
We've already got players getting disciplined for allegedly gambling. We also have umpires. Yesterday, news broke out that Pat Hoberg, best known as the guy who called a perfect game in a World Series, Game 2 of the 2022 World Series, is being disciplined by Major League Baseball for betting. We don't know exactly when or what. We just know that he hasn't umpired a game this year, and the news that he's being investigated did drop yesterday. So we have our first umpire betting scandal, and probably the first major officiating betting scandal in 17 years in any major American sport.
You know, I did look into this briefly of, you know, if there have been umpires accused of, you know, swaying the outcome or, you know, betting on games that they were officiating. I have not found any precedent for this. There's no allegations right now that he bet on games that he's officiating or, you know, as far as I know, I'm not sure, you know, how far it goes beyond that. I mean, he's looking at, from the sounds of it, he bet on a Major League Baseball game, and he's looking at a 1-year suspension. He said that's not a good look when you have an officiant who can affect the outcome of the game very easily, just with, you know, a few missed calls. I mean, the one saving grace is that Hoberg is a good umpire, and it's not like a guy like, you know, Angel Hernandez or Laz Diaz or C.D. Buckner, a more controversial umpire where people can, you know, suddenly speculate that, oh, well, maybe the reason Angel Hernandez is such a terrible umpire is he's been gambling on it. Like, we don't have to deal with that necessarily. But still, it's a bad look. Like, it's arguably worse for the sport to have your officiants, you know, accused of betting on the sport versus the players. Like I said, they have much more control over what happens in the game, especially if they're a home plate umpire.
Yeah, and you kind of look at the play. I mean, players are, I would say, a lot more replaceable in the game than umpires are. Because most of the players that got disciplined are guys the general public probably never heard of. Maybe some have heard of Salfranc because the Diamondbacks went to the World Series, but
yeah.
He was one of nine relievers on that Diamondbacks club. And relatively unheard of before September of that season. So we're going to pull up Bob Nightingale's tweet about the investigation. Here we go. So MLB released a statement. During this year's spring training, Major League Baseball commenced an investigation regarding a potential violation of MLB's sport betting policies by umpire Pat Hoberg. Mr. Hoberg was removed from the field during the pendency of that investigation. While MLB's investigation did not find any evidence that games worked by Mr. Hoberg were compromised or manipulated in any way, MLB determined discipline was warranted. Mr. Hoberg has chosen to appeal that determination, which he's already said. Therefore, we cannot comment further until the appeal process is concluded. And that's what the tweet says.
like I said from the set, like, you know, from the way I read that is he didn't, you know, bet on any games that affected the outcome, but he did bet on Major League Baseball games, you know, maybe when he had a day off or, you know, on games that he wasn't officiating. We don't know. It's just too much to speculate. But there's not enough to speculate that he's affecting the outcome of the game. This isn't a Tim Donaghy, you know, point shaving scandal. This isn't nearly the like that bad. Still, the optics are bad. Not as bad as like some of the previous scandals involving, you know, sports officials.
I think this is a case where MLB maybe sweeps it under the rug when it's they just announced the suspension, nothing further. They'll say Pat Hoberg has suspended for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I mean, he has not worked a game this season. He hasn't worked a game since the World Series or the playoffs. I'm not sure exactly when his last game. Okay, so, you know, that's I think that's probably the best way they'd go about it is just, you know, they're obviously going to see the appeal. I wouldn't be surprised if he's suspended the rest of the year because he hasn't worked a game already. I'm sure the umpire union, they have a really strong union. That's one of the reasons why he's able to appeal this. So I could see them working out something where he just ends up being suspended for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, because the letter of the law in the book is declared ineligible for a year.
Yeah.
Based on the context clues. Now, there could be more than what we know, but based on what statements have been given so far, and let's be honest, if he was betting on games he was calling, that would have been leaked already, too.
He would have been banned already if that's the case. I really don't. I don't think it's to that extent where you have to, you know, wonder about it. Although I'm really surprised at the internet not going crazy over the scandal like they did with the Shohei. I think people just wanted to root for Shohei's demise. Honestly, I think that's really where a lot of that the conspiracy theories came from.
Well, if you sign a $700 million contract, that comes with the contract. That comes with the territory.
Oh, yeah, especially the Dodgers. I mean, I think everyone was looking for a reason to make him, you know, a villain. And no, he's just our lovable two-way idiot.
You make an argument. He's dumb with money and too rich to notice $16 million missing.
Oh, that's a really big part of that. I think a lot of people don't really – like a lot of people who are speculating on that, they don't understand how much a translator can ingratiate themselves in a player's life and like how many, like their actual responsibilities are. Like if you understood that and understand like a guy, like understand Shohei had never really had any interest in managing his money. He just gave it to his mom. And then I guess Mizuhara was put in charge of it when he came over to the States. That's kind of a, you know, this is Major League Baseball, really. I mean, let me get to it. They need to do something about, like, I don't know if sports betting is really good for the sport. Not just Major League Baseball, but, like, any professional league. This is going to become more of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, what do we got? When you got an NBA player that was, like, banned. I think it was, I forget the player's name, but he was connected with a key player on the brother of a key player here on the Denver Nuggets. Look it up. Okay, Jonte Porter.
Yeah.
Was given a lifetime ban in the NBA for betting on the sport. And he did a lot worse than any of the five players disciplined by Major League Baseball, too, I might add, based on the findings of the NBA.
To be fair, basketball is much more, like I said, an umpire probably has about the same amount of an effect that an NBA player has on the game that they're playing in, because it's like you can only do so much. It's the whole reason why, like, the Angels, even with two of the best players of the last decade, were, you know, cellar dwellers, is you can only do so much, you know, as a baseball player, affect the outcome of the game. An umpire can very easily, you know, affect things, just especially as a home plate umpire. An NBA player is, it's even that much more easy. So a little different.
Yeah, I would say so. When there's fewer people involved, certainly one person can make a larger impact.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to, let's talk about one of the Diamondbacks link into this. So Andrew Salfrank declared ineligible for a year. It says banned 1 year, but there's a difference between being suspended and being declared ineligible. And that starts with the 40-man roster. So if Sol Frank has been removed from the Diamondbacks 40-man roster as a result of this, so he plays 20. So the running tally on Sol Frank, he placed 28 major league bets, four on the Diamondbacks, and bet a total of $444, I believe is the total. So Sol Frank, of course, for placing any kind of money on Major League Baseball while a member of the Diamondbacks organization as a minor leaguer, is in violation of Rule 21, Section D, Part 1, and has been such banned for 1 year. It's kind of disappointing because the Diamondbacks certainly could use extra bullpen depth, and Sol Frank is, I think, a better arm than what they're trudging out there right now.
You know, the reason why I'm smiling and I have a shitting grin right now is $444 has made him forfeit. I'm not sure what his salary, I mean, his league minimum, but it's still, I mean, it's like over $100,000. So
yeah, like, he's literally $100,000 a 40-man roster player in AAA.
I think Major League Baseball really needs to, you know, especially the players union more than anything, needs to go out of their way to explain that to the players that, hey, is the off chance that you win this bet worth you forfeiting your salary for an entire season? And in almost every case, it's going to be no, that's not worth it. I mean, most players are going to be making probably more than that. It's a simple math equation. That's what I mean. Like, these guys are young and impulsive. I mean, I'm disappointed in him. He should know better. He's a smart guy too. But if you, once you put it like that, it's a lot easier to, you know, to make a decision not to gamble. Like, okay, you're forfeiting all that salary.
And for what? If you want any comparison, I think I've only exceeded $444 in half the months that I've been a sports writer. So we're going all the way back to, I'm putting the start point of September 2022. But that's just kind of the reference. It's like, it's life-changing money for me, but not for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, still, I think regardless of how much money you make, the average, like we've talked about, like the average player, depending on when they're drafted, they're going to have anywhere from, you know, maybe $100,000 signing bonus to, you know, $7-8 million. The point there, though, is, I mean, that's a massive, I mean, even losing a year's salary for a guy his age, that's going to sting.
Yeah, especially since you're making, what, $30,000 the previous year as a non-40-man roster AAA player?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I don't really understand. I write it down to just being like just a young impulsive guy. Oh, hey, I believe in my team. I want to bet on them. You know, heart's in the right place, but the brain should be involved in that decision. And that's a very disappointing. I know he hasn't been that much of a contributor to, you know, the major league roster. Really can't, you know, his struggles with strikes on, you know, the walks at the major league level. But I mean, he could have been a contributor down the stretch, and that hurts.
He was last year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised he caught lightning in a bottle again.
I think
that kind of sucks because they don't have that option.
The real thing that disappoints me here is that's a whole, like, it's going to take him time to come back from that developmentally. It could be a good thing, you know, like maybe hitting the reset button on your pitching, you know, it can extend the life of his arm. You know, there might be some blessings that come out of it that don't seem obvious right now. But still, like, my concern is pretty much going to have to write him off when he comes back, because you have no idea how a guy's going to pitch, you know, 1 year removed.
You can compare that to the Christian Robinson situation where he hasn't played in 3 years.
Yeah, it's comparable. I mean, for a pitcher, though, I think it's a little easier. Still, that's a pretty long layoff, and you basically have to write the guy off until he comes back and shows that he's got the stuff, and he's, you know, I would hope that Andrew has learned his lesson and will never ever gamble again. And if he has an issue with gambling, like, that's the thing that, you know, not to bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, but like, Mizuhara is a gambling addict. That's why he did all that. Very much the behavior of an addict. And that's the thing, is gambling is addicting. And you know, you're a young impulsive guy, you can easily fall into the, you know, into an addiction. And that's the concern I have. It's like, it's everywhere. It's almost unavoidable. Like sure, you're de-incentivized of, you know, from betting from, you know, 1 year suspension or potential lifetime ban. But when you're, when you place those bets in high A.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you're that far removed. You're not thinking of it like that. And that's, they need to, they need to explain the consequences better, I think.
They should have Andrew explain the consequences when he's back.
Yeah. You know, Tucapita Marcano should be doing some tours around as a motivational speaker during spring training with prospects of, hey, do you guys want to lose your job forever? That's probably the only hope he has for a career baseball.
The only way that message is going to resonate is someone that gets the 1 year ban hammer talks about it. Yeah. To the team.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, I would hope that he does. I think that's a real way that he can, you know, make this up to the organization and to the fan bases. You know, speak out against this, you know, help prevent this from happening in the future. You know, explain, you know, what this is like, literally like cost him and, you know, like the literal sense and the metaphorical sense. And, you know, maybe that'll get these players, these young players' attention better. I mean, it's only five guys, but like I speculated earlier, there could be more involved in gambling, you know, with the whole Fletcher thing. And I have some concern about, like, you know, is it just the five guys that have been caught, or are there, you know, is it just those five guys? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many players are betting through a cutout, and, you know, going around the rules, for example?
That's a good question. We won't know until each one of them is identified and disciplined by Major League Baseball. So, anyways, let's cut to Torrey Lovello talking about Sal Frank's suspension. Hat tip, ABC 15 News.
I have not talked to him. I will at some point in time. I know that there's a lot that he's unpacking, and I know that Mike has talked to him. This is something that is clearly running through our clubhouse and running through this organization and running through the baseball world today. And what I want to say about this is that, you know, Andrew made a bad decision. Andrew, and I don't want to speak for the other players. I do know Andrew. He made a bad decision. You know, the rules are very clearly outlined. They're told to the players several times during spring training. There's something on the wall in spring training that prohibits betting. And the reason is simple. We have to protect the integrity of this game. Andrew knew that. He understood that. And he made a really bad decision. What I do know is about the human being. I do know Andrew is remorseful. He knows he made a mistake. I haven't talked to him, but Mike talked to him. He's explained to me what he said. He feels terrible, but he is going to pay the correct consequences. He's going to be suspended for one entire year from his baseball team, and that's painful for him and painful for us. So all we can do is continue to encourage him to do the right thing, learn from this, and we'll see him again. We will definitely meet again. Yeah. It's definitely amplified. I'm in every part of that clubhouse right now. You go in the food room, you come in my office, you go in the training room, it's all anybody's talking about. So I love that there are rules in place to monitor this. It needs to be monitored. So I don't even know how it was figured out with DraftKings or whatever. However, the system worked, and that's good to know that. The players are being monitored as they should. But yeah, I think it just postures you a little bit. It makes you think twice about some of the bad decisions you might be thinking about making. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I found out yesterday. But it was made official today.
All right, so we'll cut to also Paul Sewald's reaction to the news as well. So here's Sewald on the Burns and Gambo show. The day that Sal Frank was suspended, I believe that was June 3rd, June 4th. Here it is.
It's a disappointing day for Andrew, for his teammates and I, for the organization. It's disappointing for baseball to have people betting on baseball. We are all aware of the rules. You know, it's very disappointing. That's not who Salty is. So that kind of, that kind of surprised me when I found out. It's just disappointing. And you know, we're frustrated that we're not going to get to have him this year, personally. But then, when you think about it on his perspective, he made a mistake. He owned up to his mistake. Hopefully he will do some searching in the next year. And, hopefully he comes back stronger than ever. And we'll be excited to have him next year. And it's just disappointing. And he will come back from this. You know, he understands that it was a mistake. And he took full ownership of it, and that's all you can ask out of somebody. But we know the rules. He knew the rules. He did something he wasn't supposed to, and unfortunately he has to face some consequences for it.
So having both Torrey and Paul Sewald one time and having a chance to listen to that, what do you think is going to be the next step forward for Sal Frank to kind of just get back in the good graces for everybody else?
I think, like we just said, like that, having him speak to minor leaguers and speak to, other players on, in the organization, explaining like, hey, this is what it cost me, and explaining, his perspective and like how he's learned and grown from it. I think it's a good way to ingratiate yourself into the team's good graces. Obviously, it sounds like, he's remorseful. He knows that he screwed up. I mean, it's a very obvious, it's an obvious mistake, and he knows it. And I think, serve your suspension. He could go get himself involved in Diamondbacks charities. Like, there's lots of ways that he can, approach it from the, PR perspective and, kind of making it up to the team. And it's just coming back and being effective, I think, is, the final way that he can, make up for that.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how the PR charity thing is going to work necessarily, because he's not allowed to have contact with the team, but I'm not sure if that just extends to the coaches, players, and the game day personnel versus
the other
part of the organization. No,
I'm pretty sure he'd have to be doing it unpaid for it to,
Yeah.
It'd have to be an unpaid thing. And like I said, that's one of the reasons why that would actually really, make up for things is, I think getting involved with, gambling addict recovery, that kind of, public service and explaining the dangers, to youth, I think would probably be a good idea. I do think it's really interesting how Torrey and Paul both explained it very well. Like, it's something that is made very clear to you. Like, it's, I'm sure you've seen some of the signs, throughout the building that they're like, no gambling. So,
I have not seen any signs of such, but that's not for me to see.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's really one of those things that, they're made well aware of it. So, I mean, this is one of those things that, like, I feel a little less bad knowing that he did this while he was on a minor league affiliate, because I can understand like the somehow convincing yourself that what you're doing is acceptable, even though it's a flat don't bet on baseball. So I mean, it seems like a dumb, useful kind of mistake, and it I'm not sure what exactly you'll have to do, but I think it's like, serve your suspension. If he can do anything to bring awareness to the issue and help, prevent other players get suspended, and then, come back and be effective. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I think that's what it's going to have to come down to. And I feel like, again, with this kind of arm that he provides, if he's able to do all the things he needs to do off the field, he'll get another opportunity to prove that he belongs in the field. Cause this is a guy that was an unsung hero of the bullpen last season in their postseason right now. I know he had a couple bad games against Philadelphia, but otherwise was pretty good.
Yeah, he was a contributor down the stretch. People actually know who he is because he did contribute in the playoffs and down the stretch. It's just one of those things that, like, you learn from your mistake, move on, go from there. I don't think that I would hope that he never gambled. Like, he's done gambling.
Yeah, you hope the shock factor
or at least like betting on sports at the very least. It's like I would never bet on sports if I was involved in Major League Baseball. Like it's a non option. I would just stay away from it. Here, if you want to gamble, there's other ways you can gamble.
Yeah.
Go play some craps.
Go sign some free agents.
Yeah. All right,
exactly. So legalize gambling in baseball.
Yeah.
All right. I think on that topic, on that note, we'll switch to our third and final topic of the day, and that is the widespread effect of gambling and how it affects the players, not just beyond the players that got disciplined for it, but also players that had to go through being unfairly treated by people who bet and lose money on the game. So we'll start off with this. Column by Bob Nightingale, who is a regular at Chase Field. I'm not sure if he's the chairman or the treasurer. Usually he's a high ranking member of the Arizona chapter of the Baseball Writers Association of America. So we're going to start and drop that article.
He is the Arizona chapter chairman. He's the BBWAA vice president.
Yeah. It's usually him and Jack McGruder. I think that switch off. So starts the article. They receive death threats. They are followed home by strangers, abused and derided, and they are Major League Baseball players whose lives have been disrupted by the increased accessibility to sports gambling and people with, I guess you say, don't have better things to do trying to rationalize their poor decisions.
Yeah, that's, I think the headline says it all is, gamblers, okay, and like I'm gonna make the distinction here is that I don't think these are guys that, are just making a fun bet, just because they got some free time to spare, a little bit of extra money to spend, why not? These are the, serious gamblers who, like Paul Sewald is a quote in this, like, you blow a save and then you're going to be threatened and your life threatened. And to me, these are gambling addicts making these threats.
Yeah, and you talk, So Nightingale talked to Paul Sewald and Logan Young. That's why you see them down on the, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see why both players are listed here on the, shown here on the graphic. And this is the thing that hit me really when I read it for the first time, because I first saw it on Twitter when it came out. Came out on Sunday. Bob Nightingale does a weekly column on Sunday. It's like these people don't really care about the Diamondbacks. They just care about their bets, and they're talking about money they don't have that they are losing. So it is a very scary spot. It's like
Logan Allen's quote, though, I think is even more eye-opening, and I'll read it off while you go to highlight it. It says, "I remember being followed home one time when I was playing for Cleveland." Diamondbacks reliever Logan Allen said, "I had a really bad game, and this guy follows me home. Starts cussing at me, telling me I cost him all of this money. It's scary." Yeah, that is very scary to be followed home and threatened.
I mean, just because
you had a bad day, on the field. And yeah, they're betting money that they don't have. These are very much, addiction can do some, make you do some really crazy things, and that's where I think MLB and greater like the court system is really who's responsible for this in allowing sports betting to be legalized like this. They've unleashed a real genie I don't know if they can put the demon back in the bottle. This is one of those things like you have much more people exposed to gambling on a regular basis. There's I noticed a while back, but like on Snake Pit, which I write for, there's a thing about gambling addiction at the bottom. You go to basically any sports website right now, and there's warnings about gambling addiction.
I'll see if I can find it. If I can find it, we'll put it on here. All right. Well, I definitely know for a fact on the Snake Pit, you see DraftKings on there.
Yep.
The Snake Pit Special.
Fangraphs has it.
Yeah, and if you watch Rob Freeman, although in Rob's case, he's a content creator, so I don't think it's the same thing as Major League Baseball embracing money from gambling. The same thing with the Snake Pit. It's just a site. It's just a fan site.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, here's the difference.
Oh yeah, here it is.
There's still it is mildly problematic to me.
So let's see. Is it on the bottom?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Okay, it's not big enough. Let's blow it up.
There's people being exposed to gambling.
Easy to.
There's your
disclaimer. There. And of course, and if you ever listen to it. Continue on.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you know, there's people being exposed to gambling that would never, you know, I have very basically no interest in gambling. Although, to be fair, one of the ways I got, like, interested in baseball in the first place was sports betting. But, like, there's lots of people that would never be exposed to gambling. I don't, you know, I'm, you know, there's teenagers, you know, that who, you know, they're, you know, just getting an interest in the sport, you know, maybe their parents, one of their relatives likes baseball, you know, they go to check out the Snake Pit, they get all the stuff about gambling and betting lines. And then it's like, it's, you're bombarded with it. And then like content creators, like, you know, I love what Rob Friedman does. I mean, you know, that's kind of an understandable one to some extent, but I think that there needs to be some kind of separation between just being a baseball fan and like someone who gambles. Because it's getting everywhere. Like you see, like sponsored by DraftKings. You know, that's the joke.
Yeah, I think in Rob Friedman's case, it's FanDuel. Although, like I said, the name of the site doesn't necessarily matter. But it's a case where you're talking about a content creator and influencer. So I don't think it's the same situation as Major League Baseball teams in general. Like, for example, you see a BetMGM banner at Chase Field. I don't remember where it is, but when I go back to Chase Field on the 16th, which will be
tomorrow,
16th, it'll be
this is published.
16th. we're aiming. So I'm going to see if I can find it. And then obviously there's the Caesars Sportsbook right outside Chase Field, just to the west of the entrances on the third base side of the ballpark.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because it normalizes it for children. Like, I mean, there's children who go to baseball game. Let's be real. Okay, there's young families bring their kids, to go watch some baseball. And you know, when the first thing, I think it's actually right near one of the entrances. You know, you have all this gambling that's becoming more and more ingratiated. The fact that they're moving a team to Vegas, supposedly, that's a whole other thing. But having baseball in Las Vegas is something that would never been accepted 20 years ago. That was actually one of the things, you know, in the last two expansions, i.e. the one with the Diamondbacks and the Rays and the Marlins and Colorado, is they were immediately shot down basically every single time that they have tried to get an expansion team prior to that. So because of the gambling connection, and it's really odd to see it, you know, like, you know, BetMGM in Chase Field and the Caesars Sportsbook, you know, as you're walking up to the ballpark, that's a little... It's a little weird to me, and I don't really like it.
Yeah, speaking of the NFL, there was a major, a small gambling. It was a scandal involving the Detroit Lions that kind of hit the NFL last year. Two players on the Colts. No, three players on the Colts, player on the Titans, five players on the Detroit Tigers. We're all suspended in 2023 for gambling. Although, like I said, not a lot of money. Although there was a $1,000 prop bet that was in there. So looking at the suspension, nine players suspended. Only three of the nine did not get an indefinite suspension. Stanley Berryhill, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and Jameson Williams. And obviously Jameson Williams is not going to get the boot because he was a first round pick, but that's kind of the thing here. And I'll just show this here real quick. Bring up the point. And we're just comparing sport leagues because the NFL does have a team in Las Vegas. I'm not as familiar with NHL and the NHL.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know if there was anything going on there.
I know there have been like scandals similar to the NBA, like point shaving scandals. It's much easier. I know that there was one with like Boston College had a gambling scandal, I think in like the 80s or 70s. I know there was a hockey team, college hockey team, that got involved in a gambling scandal. It's interesting, though, is that some of the biggest early scandals in baseball were gambling scandals. Like there was up until like the Black Sox scandals, when they really had to do something about it. That's when they got a commissioner, they banned people. But the thing that a lot of people don't know is that the whole precedence for banning someone for life was from a previous gambling scandal involving the PCL. So and then baseball went a good 60 years until there's the Pete Rose scandal, and then it's been about 40 years since the last one, and it's kind of this should be raising eyebrows for MLB executives that we've had a translator, five players, and an umpire all be affected by major gambling scandals.
All right. Yeah, that's the main thing I would say. It's definitely a problem that Major League Baseball needs to address, and I would say sooner rather than later, because it could destroy the integrity of the sport if it gets any worse.
I mean, other than I don't see them backing out of their deals with sportsbook. I don't see that happening where MLB is like, okay, no, we're not doing this anymore. Not going to happen. There's too much money to be made. That's one of the whole reasons why, A's owner John Fisher thinks that moving the A's to Vegas is a good idea is based on, the precedence of having sportsbooks near, MLB stadiums now. And I think it's, I don't know what they can do about it. I mean, yes, they need to educate young players, obviously, and make it very clear that they know the consequences. And then you have guys who have been affected, like, Andrew Selfrink, speak out against it and explain how the consequences of being, suspended or banned can affect things. But I'm not really sure what exactly they can do to stop this from happening in the future.
All right. So here's Matt Chapman. So this, like, some Giants were in town. So Nightingale also interviewed Matt Chapman. And this is kind of scary here. But they have found the players' Venmo and they're requesting for money for not performing and losing the money on bets. That's also a scary thing as well.
Yeah, that's someone doxed you and found your information. If they can find your Venmo account, they can find your address. They can do a lot scarier than that. That's very alarming to me that MLB players are now facing this kind of harassment and having them partner with sports books pretty much gives, the bettors a green light that MLB is okay with this.
I would agree with that because, like I said, the precedent that MLB is setting is definitely an issue. And here you go. Tyler Rogers had to make his Venmo private. And Tommy Pham is no stranger to casinos since he's from Las Vegas. Here, and he talks about seeing this type of behavior firsthand growing up.
Yeah. I would think that like Tommy Pham, Bryce Harper, some other prominent players from the Vegas area, they're well aware of how like just life destroying gambling addiction can be. And like I would think a lot of these people, if they had a gambling addiction, do you think they would be threatening Matt Chapman or following Logan Allen home from the stadium? I mean, yeah, there's crazies, there'll still be stalkers, but this is, like I said, it's a whole can of worms has been, it's been, opened up on the sport, and I don't know how they're going to go back to it where it's, you know, this isn't an issue. It's going to become more of an issue as time goes on.
I would agree.
And I think having a team in Vegas is going to make it worse.
Yeah, and then pretty much it's more of the same on here.
They go, please go. Yeah, if you're watching this, read Bob Nightingale's article. It's a great read. I mean, there's been some good reporting on this story that is worth checking out.
And basically, Bob comes up with the same argument that Wes comes up here. It's too late for baseball's stop baseball's affair with gambling because it's too lucrative. Too much money, and right now the owners are looking more towards their bottom line than the integrity of the sport.
Well, I mean, when you have one of the real issues here is that you have Rob Manfred doesn't really care about the integrity of the sport. I don't think that he does. He's not a Faye Vincent or, you know, Commissioner Landis was, you know, not the best guy out there in terms of, like, you know, I was getting, like, outside of baseball, his opinions were not very good. But, like, he cared about the integrity of the sport, and that's the bottom line, is that the MLB commissioner was that position was literally created as a result of the Black Sox scandal. That's how they handled it. They put, you know, like they gave that power to, you know, and now they have an executive as the commissioner. I mean, the biggest selling point for, you know, Rob Manfred and I can't think of his name, the previous commissioners, they both were working for the owners. So, I mean, anything that, you know, there's really no way for them to back out of this. I mean, other than maybe point a different commissioner that's, can kind of restore the integrity of the game in a way that's similar to what Landis did. But I don't see MLB owners ever doing that.
Nope. In fact, Manfred got extended through 2029. Yeah. And a little bit of a history on Manfred. I believe he was the COO of MLB before he stepped, before he was promoted to commissioner when Selig retired. As well, so I'm trying to find it, but I can't seem to find it.
I know he was a lawyer. He joined.
Yeah.
He worked for the owners during collective bargaining in '87. Served as outside counsel during the '94-'95 strike. Like I said, he's heavily tied into, you know, and Bud Selig before him. That's, I couldn't think of his name. Bud Selig was an owner. Okay, so like you've had two commissioners in a row who are heavily tied to the owner side. And yeah, okay, the owners love it because, you know, they're looking out for their bottom line. But eventually, if you're not looking out for the integrity of the sport, your bottom line is going to be affected.
Yeah, and this is my speculative opinion, but I feel like Rob Manfred was appointed commissioner because the owners wanted to fire a shot at the players. That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's 100% what it is. That's why Bud Selig was appointed. I mean, before that, I think it was Giamatti or Faye. I can't, I'm not sure if it was Giamatti or Faye Vincent.
Yeah,
Giamatti. He was a great commissioner. That's the thing. It was Faye Vincent and then Giamatti. I think Faye Vincent.
Well, who handled Pete Rose? I think it was Giamatti, right?
It was both of them. Because I know originally. Okay, yeah, that's right. He negotiated the settlement between the Reds and Pete Rose. Yeah, so it was Faye Vincent. And, you know, Faye Vincent was pushed out of the sport because he wasn't on the owner's side. Bart, that's really what that's about.
Bart Giamatti. With respect to Paul Giamatti, the actor.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Yeah, it's his dad. I didn't know that until recently. That Bart Giamatti was Paul Giamatti's father, which is like very random to me. But no, I mean he did very much care about the integrity of the sport. He wasn't on like you can look up some of the interviews where they're talking about collective bargaining, and you know, I think he's really the last commissioner that cared about like the integrity of the sports, making sure that, you know, both sides in the, you know, the owner player, you know, side of, you know, of agreement, like making sure that it actually was mutually beneficial. And I think, you know, with Bud Selig, with Rob Manfred, they're not looking out for making sure, like I said, like they don't care about integrity, and they care about the money. That's one of the reasons why, you know, Rob Manfred is, you know, put in all these rule changes, like, you know, the automatic runner, you know, allowing sports betting to be in, you know, in or near stadiums. I mean, like a lot of that, and like official sponsorships, they would not be allowed if it wasn't for his approval.
Yep.
So
I would agree.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this scandals, that there's going to be more fallout from this. I am expecting the other shoe to drop on David Fletcher and the people involved in that, with that illegal sports book. Just their very involvement means a suspension. If he plays the bet on it, he'll get suspended. If there's another scandal, MLB is going to need to do something about it. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they do anything at all, which I don't see them being, you know, I think now would be the indication of, hey, maybe it's time to do something, that an umpire has been, you know, like an umpire has been suspended now. I think it's time to, you know, do something. I don't know what. I'm definitely waiting and seeing what exactly MLB will do. I have very low expectations of them actually solving the problem. Because the only solution to the problem is to stop sponsoring, you know, having a sports book sponsor your team and your broadcast, and, you know, having it so ingratiated in the sport where, you know, it's unavoidable. And it's like, unless they change that, I don't see it ever going away.
So on that note, we are going to conclude the episode here. Thanks everyone for watching. If you enjoyed it, if you want to talk, discuss, leave a comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening in on your favorite podcasting platform, whether that's Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, or iHeartRadio, you can leave us a review and let us know what you think of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. So once again, signing off here, I'm Mike McDermott, with the lead reporter for Burn City Sports, with Wes Beyer, writer for AZ Snake Pit. And we wish you all a good weekend, and go Diamondbacks.